think I'll just jump right into this one and maybe talk about the environment I'm in. So this is Israel. This is Tel Aviv. You can see, for those of you actually watching the video, great big buildings behind me. And then I sort of went to this park, and it's, I don't know, like a nice kind of open area with palm trees. And if you're watching the video, you'll see that it looks really sunny as well. So it's about 31 Celsius here at the moment. So otherwise, normal temperatures, which is good. The weather here is actually surprisingly like home. Maybe a fraction drier than what it would be at home, like during our summer. So it feels pretty normal for me. And rather than drinking coffee or beer this time, I actually have nice juice too. So that's one of the nice things I have a lot of here, is some pretty cool juices and food and stuff like that. So let me talk a bit about Israel, and then I'll move on to other things. So I came here for Cyber Week, which is a massive event. In fact, someone was saying it is the world's largest info security event. It's like 8,000 or 9,000 people come to this event. And it's held at the Tel Aviv University, so I've been backwards and forwards to the university during the week. It's a really interesting... I probably should talk about Tel Aviv. Yeah, let me talk about Tel Aviv and Israel, and then I'll talk about the event as well. So this is actually my first trip to Israel. I've never been to Israel before. And I guess I wasn't really giving it a lot of thought about what to expect. It's probably not something I didn't expect. Maybe some of the things I found a little bit, I guess, different to a lot of the places I go. Everything is very, very Hebrew. And what I mean by that is I'll go somewhere like, yeah, obviously I've been in Norway a bit lately. They speak Norwegian, but everything is kind of either in English as well, or people come in and out of English and Norwegian without even sort of thinking about it. Here, particularly like the taxi drivers, the security guards at buildings and things, they're very Hebrew with little to no English. Everyone that I've interacted with professionally, like, absolutely beautiful, perfect English. A lot of them spent time in the States as well, so they've obviously had a chance to work on that. But that's one of the things that's quite different. There's a beach down here, which I did expect. It's on the Mediterranean, and it kind of feels like you might have a beach in, I don't know, like the south of France or Spain or something like that. The same sort of beaches and water and environment. Very different to Aussie beaches. And in fact, I had like a number of people going, oh, have you gone to the beach? The beach is really nice. And I'm going, yeah, that's not a beach. And actually, like, in fairness, it's a nice environment because you're by the water. They've got restaurants and stuff by the beach. But it's not like that squeaky clean white sand and blue water that I'm used to at home. And there's no waves or anything like that here. So it's very different to the beaches that I'm used to. So I have been scootering around everywhere here. A little bit like many parts of the world, there are now electric scooters everywhere. And I sort of took taxis for the first day, and then I went, oh, this is crazy. Like, the taxis are expensive. You have to wait for them. There's like Lime scooters and equivalent everywhere. So I've been scootering everywhere, feeling pretty proud of myself, being able to get everywhere, not crash, not die, anything like that. And I was just riding the scooter back from the last meeting I had this morning, and I was like, this is really nice. And then I got stopped by the cops. So I got a ticket by the Israeli traffic cops, I guess they were. Like, these were cops that didn't have machine guns, unlike a lot of the other cops I see around here. They've got freaking machine guns. And they're like, okay, where's your passport? And that was about the only English they had. And then they handed me documentation that was all in Hebrew, and it's like, sign this. So, well, what are my options right now? I want to get my passport back, so sign this. And then I just went and had lunch, and someone at lunch recognized me. Still strange. And I said, hey, can you read this Hebrew for me? I got like a $100 fine, like a 100 Aussie dollar fine, 250 shekels for riding on the footpath. So now I need to find someone who can read Hebrew, which I'll do at my next meeting, so that I can pay the fine for riding the scooter on the footpath. Frankly, good ROI, because the roads here, holy shit, I'm not riding a scooter on the roads here. I would like to get out of here in one piece. So I think that that's a reasonable ROI. And I think by the time I'm done here, I probably would have spent $200 on scooters anyway. So, you know, if I only get that ticket, not too bad. I know who to look out for now when I'm riding the scooters around. So from like a personal mobility perspective, that's been awesome, because I've just been able to go everywhere I've wanted to on my own, at my own pace. And some of it has just been like cruising along the beach from one spot to another. So the meeting I have this afternoon, it's like just cruise down the beach. Sweet, job done. So that'll be nice. When I was, I got here very early Monday, and I did a talk for, they called it CISO Hive. So it's basically just talking to a bunch of CISOs. I wasn't sure what to expect, so I did wear my suit, sans tie. I shared one of the photos. People did make comments that it was rather strange to see me in a shirt and pants. I did not wear those again throughout the rest of the trip. I've literally been in my usual kind of black t-shirt garb. Anyway, I did the CISO Hive thing. Speaking to people there, everyone was like, oh, you got to go to Jerusalem. You know, like if you come to Israel and you got to see a touristy thing, go to Jerusalem. And I'm not one for like tourist buses and things like this. And it's about an hour and a half or something to Jerusalem. So I needed to find a local. And I found a local at one of the companies I was visiting whilst I was here. And he took me to Jerusalem yesterday, which was really, really interesting. And sort of regardless of your religious leanings and all this sort of thing, it's hard to escape the kind of significance of the place and the reverence with which those there hold. So, yeah, it's everything from that. There's obviously a lot more sort of very strictly Jewish folks walking around based on the dress and the cultures. Having someone who was Israeli with me really helped because I got to learn a bunch of stuff I did not know. So that was interesting. We went to the Western Wall. That was, an amazing historical significance place, which was quite interesting. And spent a few hours there, walked around the markets. Markets are super cool. The amount of, like, food and again, like, fresh juices and things like that. It's really quite impressive. So that was yesterday. During the week. I also did a keynote at the Cyber Week event. It was a 12-minute keynote, which is rather a short keynote. But I did that next to a couple of other folks who did keynotes, and they did fantastic talks too. So mine was mostly very good, except this is one of the things that I'm usually really strict on with talks. So normally whenever I do a talk, I say, look, I want to present from my machine because I know stuff's going to work. Yeah, so long as we get HDMI and audio to work, sweet, everything else will be fine. Now, for a 12-minute talk in a very big keynote where you're rotating people quickly, that wasn't really feasible. So they're like, give us the deck, we'll load it up, it will be fine, honest, we promise. So I went into the control room beforehand. I was like, okay, show me the deck. I want to make sure the fonts look right. I want to make sure the video plays. And when the video is playing, I'm saying to the guy, all right, now there's audio here. The audio is going to be fine, isn't it? And he said something in Hebrew, which I took to mean yes. Apparently it means, no, the audio may not be fine. So when I'm on stage, like doing everything perfectly synced and timed, and then it's like, ah, crap. I could actually hear audio coming out through like a speaker just on the lectern, but it wasn't coming out in the main room. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to press back, and then the audio guy who just said there's going to be audio is going to make it work. Back, nothing. Now, fortunately, it was only really short sound clips, but just like absolute pro tip on this, always hear this stuff for yourself. You know, do not trust anyone to say that stuff's going to work. And unfortunately, I really didn't have a choice because there are other talks on already when I got there, so I didn't get to like go, I want the auditorium for 5 minutes just to make sure stuff works. But friendly reminder, after that, later on in the day, I did a talk for OWASP. So OWASP Israel had their meetup here at the Imperva building, which is, oh, there it is. Imperva building is just up there. It says Imperva. Is that one? Yeah, it is that one. Did that. And it was funny because I get in there and there's an AV guy and he's like, so can we put your slides on our computer and play it from there? No, not going to happen, mate. Not going to happen. So anyway, that all went fine. Everyone seemed to be happy. So that's... this combination of Israel and the events, the other thing I've been doing is using pretty much every available moment to go and meet people whilst I'm here. So I've met with a bunch of companies, some of which are potential acquirers of Have I Been Pwned. So this whole sort of Project Svalbard and the process of finding a new home for Have I Been Pwned is forging ahead. So let me talk a little bit about where we're at with that at the moment as well, and I'll sort of share what I can. It was 2 weeks ago that I wrote about it now. It's just 2 weeks and 2 days, I think. So that obviously got a lot of traction. It was interesting, in the weekly update last week when I was with Scott Helm in Oslo at NDC, we were talking about sort of the legitimacy of processing data from breaches, and I mentioned that there are lots of organisations out there using breach data, not necessarily from Have I Been Pwned, to check things like, are customers using the same credential pairs that are in data breaches? In fact, they're definitely not using Have I Been Pwned for that, because I don't make that data available to anyone, not the pair of the email address and the password. And as luck would have it, about Monday, a bunch of people started forwarding me emails from TripAdvisor. And TripAdvisor was sending them emails saying, we have found the same username and password that you use on our service in another data breach. We need to take proactive measures to protect your account. Now, this was kind of interesting on two fronts. One of the fronts was the number of people that forwarded on and said, hey, TripAdvisor's had a data breach, even though it like explicitly says, you know, we have not had a data breach. It's just that your data has appeared somewhere else. So, like newsflash, people don't read emails. But the second thing is that it's just a perfect illustration of exactly the sort of thing I was talking about with Scott last week, which is that breached data is used really extensively by large, mainstream, legit organizations in order to protect their customers. So from the perspective of what is the legal basis for processing this, obviously it is something that is in broad circulation, that the practice that is. And as I said last week, making sure that we establish that legal basis really, really clearly, identify the privacy risks, how they're mitigated, all the rest of it, is an important part of this process. And I think I said it last week, but I'll say it again now. Whatever I am able to talk about publicly, read the outcome of that, I will, because I think that there is a lot of interest out there as to what that sort of legal basis for processing is. So that was that piece. In terms of the general process, we sort of started with this divergence phase of, look, there are a bunch of different organizations that are potential fits. And then as time goes by, we're sort of whittling that down a bit. So some of them say, look, it's just not something that they're interested in. Some of them, we sort of say, look, you're really not the sort of organization that we think can maximize the potential of Have I Been Pwned. So the list is whittling down a little bit. It is a substantially large list of remaining organizations for whom there could be a good fit. And as I've sort of said before, there are different ways that this is a good fit. Some of them are a better fit in terms of the protections that can provide consumers. Some of them are a better fit in terms of what we can do to sort of impact the whole data breach industry, for want of a better term. You know, how do we process more data, get more disclosure, all this sort of thing. Some of them will probably be a better fit in terms of either the commercial structure or the way that I have to work or where I have to be or all these other things. As yet, I still have absolutely no idea about most of the things that I just mentioned there as well. So it's a bit of a funny time because on the one hand, there's sort of all this uncertainty about really fundamental aspects of my life. But on the other hand, there's so much interest and so much demand. We're sort of going, well, this is going to present some really amazing opportunities in life. And it's something I hope to be able to write about later on. Like once this wraps up, and the path forward is clear, and I can sort of talk a little bit more candidly about this process and the emotions involved, I think that would actually make for some really interesting reading. Certainly it is very demanding at the moment, so I'm doing meetings at all hours in terms of stuff on the phone. I'm obviously doing a lot of stuff in person. Probably the next 3 months is going to be exceptionally busy whilst we sort of work out the right fit and frankly answer many very, very good but very, very endless questions about the way the service runs. One question that keeps coming up, and it came up in the talk that I just did at another company only an hour or two ago as well, is where does the data come from? And I think some of you know this, but the way we've ended up positioning it is to say, look, there are sort of four main sources of data that goes into Have I Been Pwned. Now, this is not secret, it's pretty obvious if you sort of trawl through it, but the way I've categorized it is, so look, there's data which is provided by white hat security researchers. And certainly if you go down the list of who's been pwned, you'll see the same names there over and over again. And they've identified OpenS3 buckets, unprotected MongoDBs, Elasticsearch open to the world, all this sort of stuff, and provided data to Have I Been Pwned after doing all the correct sort of private disclosure, gets stuff locked down, etc., etc. So that's one side, the sort of, you know, white hat, above board, identifiable parties. One of the other categories is data which is in public circulation. So Ashley Madison is sort of one of the canonical examples there. That data was distributed so extensively by design. Like, whoever broke into Ashton Madison, they still haven't caught whoever it is either, by the way. Certainly nothing that's been in the public airwaves. Whoever did that wanted maximum damage. They wanted as much data out there as possible. So that, by any reasonable definition of the term, is in broad public circulation. Loads of other data fits a similar sort of category, where there are a gazillion different websites you can go to. Okay, gazillion, I could easily identify dozens, where there is data sitting there, usually with directory listing enabled, intended to be redistributed to people, and it's hundreds, sometimes thousands of data breaches. So very broad public circulation. Then there's the one that's always really interesting, which is the self-submission data. So there are organisations out there who have a data breach, and then they go, look, we've had a data breach. Have I been pwned to sort of become the canonical source of data breach records? We would like you to put the data in there so that people can search the service and figure out their exposure. And I think there's 8 or 9 different incidents like that, including even the one from the Estonian police. Now, I wrote about this at the time. The Estonian police submitted a bunch of data about their citizens. I think it was last year. And that was just a really interesting self-submission example, where an organisation comes forward and sort of says, look, in one way or another, this is our data, in their case, their citizens' data, make it searchable. So that's the third group. And then the fourth group is data which is held much more privately. And this is a really interesting category, because whilst I've bucketed it all under the one heading, there are very different motivations for the individuals in there. So I'll give you a few examples. You'll notice on Have I Been Pwned, on the Who's Been Pwned page, there are a number of cases where I've said the person who submit this asked for it to be attributed to, and then there's a name, or in some cases an email address or something. So one of the motivations is to indicate that the data has been provided by a source. Now, I chose those words carefully because I don't necessarily know that they're asking for attribution to them. It may be misdirection. They may be trying to discredit someone else. So I choose the words very carefully when I say someone asked it to be attributed to someone else. There is certainly altruism by people who provide it privately. There are a number of people who just want to see this breach come to light so that the company knows and so the individuals know, and they have no malicious intent. There are those who are probably very close to the source of the data breach itself. There's a number of people who said, look, a friend obtained this data. Now, I don't know if this is like one of those things where, like, a friend of mine has a problem, you know, I'd like some advice. I don't know if it's one of those things. I don't ask those questions either. What I do make sure I do is I make sure I don't suggest to anyone that they go and take the data. I certainly don't incentivize it or pay anyone for it. So I try and avoid any sort of conflict of interest in terms of making the whole thing worse by seeking more data for the service. And then, of course, there's going to be a whole bunch of shades of grey in between. People who are genuinely exchanging data backwards and forwards, but within very close circles, not easily discoverable publicly. Sometimes it's data that does hit the dark web and is made for sale. Someone grabs it very early and sends it over to me. So there's sort of the four different categories that address that one question, which has been coming up again and again. So alongside that, all sorts of other questions. I'm just trying to even pick ones that are good examples. Things like, yeah, there's the whole question of when I go to another organisation, obviously I've got a very public-facing persona. Like, what does that look like? How much control might they want over that? What sort of events might they want me to go to? And to date, I've not had anyone sort of dictate anything around that. It's probably a bit too early for that, but that's one of the things I'm really interested in. I'm now lining up my next series of conference events, which I'll talk about once those organisations make them public. Is that the sort of thing that an organisation that Have I Been Pwned goes to wants me to do? Do they want me to do more of that? Do they want me to speak more to, like, governments and corporates rather than developers? I don't know these things. So I'm really just sort of sharing ideas as they come to mind, and hopefully what you get out of this is that you understand there's just an enormous amount of considerations here. And all the same, or whilst this is all going on, I still need to keep loading data too. So I've got this never-ending set of data flowing in. This week I loaded social engineered. Now, it's a weird grammatical use of the term, social engineered. Anyway, loaded that. So someone, looks like someone from Raid Forum went and grabbed data from effectively a competing hacking forum, dumped a bunch of that out of a vulnerable MyBB instance. Looks like they had some zero day that was exploited and wasn't patched within, I think, 3 days or something to that effect. Data dumped publicly, you know, that now goes under the public column of, have I been paying breaches? So there's still endless data like that to process as well. So I've got to keep all that churning away and, I guess, operating business as usual. Is that Hebrew? Oh, sorry. Oh, you can't talk. I don't understand any of this. 5 minutes? I'm going to be finished. I'm sorry. I don't understand it. All right, I'm actually doing a video. I'm really sorry, I've got to finish this. Okay, thank you, have a good day. Bye-bye. He's rubbing his fingers together, maybe it's money. If someone watched that and they actually understood what the guy said, leave a comment. Actually, he didn't say anything, but he had a sign that said something. So not only can I not understand Hebrew, I can't read it either, which is probably pretty obvious. All right, so look, I don't know, maybe he was saying like this park is a quiet place and I can't talk, but I think I pretty much wrapped up. Last thing, sponsor this week is Strong DM. So Strong DM do a bunch of single sign-on stuff. They can help you do things like grant and revoke access to your database in a nice sort of centrally managed way. So big thanks to those guys for being on board this week. I'm going to go and try and edit this up, pump it out sometime on Friday before I jump on a plane again out of Tel Aviv tomorrow, and I'll come to you from somewhere different next week, and I'll talk to you about what I'm doing then when I get to that next location. See you later.